tagcastpodcast.com.
Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
I was thinking, since it's a new season and stuff, maybe we should have like a new song for our podcast.
What?
Well, yeah, because we don't even really have a theme song.
Yeah.
And we've just had the same intro, and now it's time.
Yeah.
I'm just getting tired of that.
All right.
I wrote some little short ditties.
Oh, sweet.
I wrote three of them. I want you to listen to them and then tell me which one you like best.
All right.
All right, here's the first one. It goes. This is the best and greatest podcast in the world. Tagcast. A long time ago, me and my brother Gatch.
Wait a minute, dude. I really like that, but I think that's already a song, isn't it? Isn't that Tenacious D's?
What? Tenacious D has a song about the Tagcast?
No, not about Tagcast. They got a song about the greatest song in the world, tribute or whatever.
Oh shit! Maybe I subliminally.
Yeah, you must have. Were you listening to it that day? Maybe.
No, but I've heard that song about four times. Well, fuck. Okay.
All right, you got another one.
Yeah,
right?
I got this other one. Okay, it goes. Tonight there's gonna be a tag cast somewhere in the town. Tonight there's gonna be trouble.
Wait.
Cause Terry and Gatch are around. Somewhere out on the internet.
Wait, what? That's a song too.
Dude, it is not. There's only 12. Who has a song about the Tagcast podcast?
That's Thin Lizzy.
Who?
Thin Lizzy.
I love Thin Lizzy.
I know. They didn't
bands.
Have a song about a Tagcast. They had one about Jailbreak.
Fuck, man. I'm 2-0. Or 0-2, whichever way you want. Okay, well, this is the last one.
All right.
I got one more.
All right.
Hopefully I didn't steal
this
one.
Yeah, third time's
a
charm.
Okay. The Tagcast podcast on the internet. Two of the all-time losers bringing you podcast death. We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. In case your tractor hits a cow, it's the Tagcast podcast.
Wait. That's Aqualung, right? Or Locomotive Breath.
What's Locomotive Breath?
Right, Jethro.
Oh,
Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull. Well, fuck, man.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you had the sponsors and everything in there, and that's.
So I'm doing okay on the lyrics then?
Yeah, the lyrics are awesome, but I think you must have been listening to Random in your sleep.
Well, then what are we going to do, dude? I brought my guitar and everything, and now we'll just have to do the original. Fuck. All right, roll it.
And now, once again, it's time for the Tagcast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The Tagcast podcast starts right now.
Where are you?
Yo, Adrian Bacon! It's episode 401 of the Tagcast podcast. Welcome to season 4. I am the Indian of the podcast, Gatch Galapagola Guy. I'm wearing a headdress.
God, I'm tired. I just ran up a fucking 3 flights of concrete stairs. Woo! You know what I'm gonna do?
Huh?
I'm gonna fly now! Woo! Adrian.
Did he do that running scene in the new Rocky? Did you see it?
I didn't.
Oh, because I was wondering if it was like because his bronze statue's out in front now, right?
Does he have a statue?
I thought they put a bronze statue out in front of there of Rocky Balboa because, you know, I mean, it's a Philadelphia success.
Right.
Oh, you know, a boy coming from the
Instead of that guitar solo.
Many people in Philadelphia looked up to that and became fighters.
Right? Yeah, big time. Marky Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. What's that other guy's name?
Donnie Wahlberg.
Now, there was some boxing movie that had Mark Wahlberg and his brother in it. It was stupid, but...
You know who needs to do movies together is Mark Wahlberg and Mark Wahlberg.
Are there two of them?
Yeah, the... Oh, what's the other guy?
Mark Zuckerberg. All the Mark Berg.
He's a game show host.
Yeah?
For, like, kids. I want to say he did Double Dare.
Is he a member of NAMBLA? Did you know that that's a real thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty shocked to hear that, too.
I was watching either the recent episode or last season episode of Saturday Night Live. And they had a skit with a guy that was apparently from NAMBLA. And,
Yeah.
I'm looking at the site right now.
The NAMBLA site?
It's the voice of the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Mm-hmm. Wow. Maybe we'll get to some of that later. But right now, I'd like to say happy Monday to all you guys. My name is Terry Guile. I am out of breath from running up the stairs. We're flying high now.
Yeah, Mark L. Wahlberg is
an
actor
executive
and former rapper. And then you have Mark L. Wahlberg. Same spelling and everything, which I don't think you're allowed to do. I think that's why in the registry of the Screen Actors Guild, there can never be a repeat.
So
that's why you see, like,
Sean C. Connery
or yeah, exactly.
Or whatever.
You know, if he went, he couldn't, you know,
you
he would have to do
name.
Something like that, you know, or...
You have
change.
To be known by three names to not be known as Dustin
Gatchel.
Yeah, but
this other Mark Wahlberg,
what does he do?
Away with it. He's the host of the Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, I remember. And he used to do game shows. That's right.
Yeah,
you said that earlier, but I was looking at
Yeah,
Gambler.
For sure. For sure. But that was the one thing. I just took the first thing I saw, Antiques Roadshow. And yeah, you know, I mean, you've seen
him
in 100
different
things. He does
Antiques Roadshow now?
Yeah.
It's so weird how people just... move on from one job to the next. Did you hear that Fallon's getting Tonight Show?
What, in 5 years?
No, in like a couple months. Leno's done. You didn't read that?
No.
In May, they're making the announcement that Fallon is his predecessor. The late Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Wow. And that is, and they said, the NBC said that is because Jimmy Kimmel moved to 11:35 and that they're trying to compete with the younger audience.
Yeah, but the Tonight Show has never really been a younger audience show.
Yeah, but Jay Leno's an idiot.
Yeah.
He tells stupid jokes and he talks like this.
Yeah, they're not even close to the same show.
But I think if they bring...
Like, even... It's,
Fallon has a following.
He does have a following.
Fallon...
But, you know, I mean, he is not your... in the classic style that the Tonight Show should uphold.
Oh, no. It's more like a mini, newer version of the Letterman Show, I think.
Fallon?
Yeah. It's not like the Tonight Show.
No.
I think it's more like Conan or Letterman, which I don't know how much difference there is between
Conan,
the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, except
for
the
decks. That was a pretty conservative kind of comedy, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be bad with his envelope to his
that
head,
was pretty funny.
Working with puns. And
I used to like that.
He had
that
the
was pretty good.
Oh, for sure. And he had the classic sidekick. With his catchphrase. Yeah. And did they have an announcer, too, that they talk to sometimes?
No, the band leader.
Oh, the band? Oh,
yeah.
Doc Severinsen.
Doc Severinsen, and then there was Tommy Newsom or something like that.
I don't remember that guy.
I was reading about that stuff for some reason. If it is what I thought it was, no, we'll have to talk about that another day.
Conan's kind of an edgy, and now that he's on basic cable, it's just goofier, the ones that I've seen. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
But Fallon, I mean, he does all those games, and I think that's what puts him apart from the others that he does. He brings home in those living room games.
And he does the skits where he dresses and acts like other people.
Mm-hmm.
And he does impersonations of, like, rockers, which is kind of his thing. He did that on Saturday Night Live, you know?
Yeah, and on his album, he did some funny songs, I thought.
To be honest, that's kind of a little bit of the inspiration. He used to go on Weekend Update and change the lyrics to popular songs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I did before the show. But I just wanted to That was funny to the people who listened to it first and go, is this guy an idiot? No, he's being funny. That's funny. Yeah. So, I didn't really have a song, and I saw this in there, and I played some Rocky, and I wasn't even thinking, yo, Adrian, that's perfect, because he was the only one that responded to my, yo, you got topics? He should change his name to Yo Bacon.
Ooh, yeah.
Yo Bacon.
Yo Bacon.
But wait, we'll get to those topics a little bit longer down the line. Mm-hmm. We should do what we normally do and talk about the weekend. How are you feeling today, Dustin? Are you back to one sheet yet?
I'm a little scattered.
Saturday night, I saw Dustin, and he said he was like 4 sheets or 5 sheets to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
He'd had like 10 shots or something. That's a lot of shots. I was at the venue for at least 40 minutes before I could even find you. I don't know where you were.
I was all over.
You were.
I was, as is usual at the Dixie, you wander through and you do a lot of shaking hands and
talking,
fist bumpings and,
yep,
you know,
buy you drinks.
A little small talk on your way to go and smoking or whatever you're doing.
Usually a lot of the small talk turns into a little bit larger than small.
Exactly.
Because you haven't seen those friends for a while. Like, mm-hmm. I got caught up by 4 or 5 people, and the next thing I know, it was 45 minutes later. But
yeah, and you're not even to your destination yet.
Yeah, and for some reason, I had prompted Dave. He did a great job putting the show on. I prompted him to run a tight ship because we were playing last, and the last time when Sons played at a benefit, and we played last, we went on at like 1:10.
Yeah, after one.
And so I said, you know, I don't mind playing last, but I don't want to go on at one. I want to go on before 12.
In my promotions that I'm doing future, I like them to end early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like,
then people can hang out. If the venues allow that,
or, you know, like,
some of the bigger town venues are real sticklers about the music has to go to one,
yeah,
or at least one or two.
Yeah, two's way late.
Yeah, like, remember Goodfellas? We played at 1:20,
yeah,
and we got there at 2, and like there was like that many people there.
Mm-hmm. 2.
Yeah.
And the people that couldn't drive home.
Yeah, exactly. The people that were probably going to sleep in the parking lot, the homeless people. But, yeah, it was a good night, and he ran such a tight ship, and a couple people had shorter sets than he anticipated. And so, like, I got there about 9:40 or 9:45, hoping to catch the full Strange Dichotomy set, and they were already, like, halfway done. And then I talked to Jason afterwards, and he was like, yeah,
they were
a half hour away when they were supposed to start.
Well, I was...
They thought they were going to play at 10.
We got there at, like, 8:30.
Yeah.
And... It was an hour before Strange Dichotomy played. There was no music.
For an hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
We got there just as...
so it was like an little
the band beforehand. Right after Ed got done playing is what I was told, this when we showed up.
Yeah, because Dave said he only brought 4 songs on his little laptop or CD or whatever he plays along with, so... well, at least it's better, though. And I think there was enough going on with the raffles and all the family of the baby that the benefit was for. There's a lot of old people there, like old people that won, like, silverware and, like...
I saw some silverware sitting on the couch. It was a whole dining set, silverware and plates, but it looked like it went to somebody that
I
would...
I think they all went to the right people, or else they played the trade game to where it looked like every prize belonged to be in the arm of the person who had it.
I did that on a benefit because my mom gave me some towels and candles for to give out, and so I just lumped them in with the shirt packages, you know, the shirt and CDs, and I was like, just come up and pick one. That way it was like, if you already got the shirt and the CD, or you like candles, or you
pick and choose.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it seemed to work out all right, and I didn't have to, like, thumb through stuff. I just threw it in a box and put it up there and then called out names.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, I can't remember. Somebody won, I think it was $61 cash on the half and half cash lottery.
Nice.
And they gave away a nice leather jacket. And
I saw that.
Yeah. I said,
I don't think it would have fit me, but I would have.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, if nobody claims this, it goes to the final band of the night, which I was saying it goes to me. He's like, this is too small for you, dude. You can't wear this. And I was like, yeah, but I'd look like a hipster maybe or something cool to wear. It's a new style. You know, the arms come halfway up. It's like a
Yeah, oh, if you wore a black long sleeve.
Yeah, looking cool. It just looked like I rolled, pushed my sleeves
or
up.
Or like a white long john. That's what you'd want to wear.
Yeah, white long johns with a too small as jacket. Oh, man. Oh, and before I forget, yeah, Friday I had that little competition thing, which it was kind of like I thought it was. They were telling us that they were going to take the top 30, and I was like, is there going to be 30? And then I asked them a couple days before, and they said, yeah, there's like 40. And then I got there, and there was like 33 on the list, and I saw four names that I knew of people that are friends of mine from out of town that weren't going to make it, like Todd Armstrong and Amanda Arnold and Will Woodruff. And so there was probably only 27. So I think everybody that performed...
We'll probably move on.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 30, and they were going to have three nights of 10 apiece and take three from each of those, and then Comics Choice for the wild card spot to equal 10 for the final. Or, wait, that doesn't make sense. No, it's 10. Yeah.
Was there an entry fee?
Nope. No entry fee, which is awesome because of the cash.
I know, but why aren't they getting more people in there, though?
I don't know.
Is it a matter of they're not pushing, like they're not getting the marketing out there enough?
You know, to be honest, a lot of the comics in this state and even out of the state don't like to deal with one of the guys who is the guy running it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying anything bad about it.
I'm just saying because there's been other competitions as well, though.
Yeah.
That have had, even up in Portland, there wasn't.
Yeah, that was 89 people or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that one had an entry fee, though.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I guess that is a pretty good turnout.
The other one that I did, the Willamette Valley's Funniest Person, was no entry fee, and there was like 36.
You'd think it would just be like, because how long of a set do you have to do?
Shit, you got between two and three minutes. If you went over three, you were just automatically disqualified.
It seems like three minutes for free, though, for a chance to win a good amount of prize. Like, you just have people walking down the street and grabbing the mic and going, hey.
Yeah, but the judges are savvy to comedy, and they know if you have your shit together or if you're just some crazy funny homeless guy that's just funny because you're fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know.
But yeah, well, so.
And on the flip side, you know, they probably think, like, you know, they got a bunch of comics that are, you know,
and
seasoned.
And there was another thing on the rules that said if you can't make it, you can submit a 3-minute video in its place, and we will decide whether you get in. Here's another funny thing. Chris Castles and his roommate showed up at like 7 o'clock before I was even there and asked if they could do their set then because they had to go to a show, another show that they were doing at a house party show, whatever. And, so they let them do it and said, okay, you guys are in. So I think that they knew that there wasn't going to be 30 and that they're just going to, it was SR standing room only. It was packed. There was probably 100 people there, which was nice, and they were there to laugh. There was a few people back around the other side of the bar that were kind of talking, but the MC host guy, Alex Elkin, was real good about, hey, you guys having a good time? They're like, yeah, and he goes, you guys that are talking having a good time? And they're like, oh, he's like, yeah, then shut the fuck up. There's people up here that are trying to fucking do something that's hard, and you're not helping when you're talking during their set. But they were all pretty good. There was probably about five chicks or maybe six women comics, and the rest all guy was pretty much a sausage fest. But some guys had never done it ever, the first time. And some people had done it a bunch. Like the ones that I knew that were there with me was Dylan Flynn from the podcast cast, and Mac Chase, and Bryce Jones, and Max Brockman. And that was it. And there's a lot of other comics from Eugene that I think are distancing themselves from it because of the track record of Chris Warren. He had a competition last year, and I think Jesse talked about it. Jesse Priest, when he was here, he was in the finals of that, and no one ever won. So I don't know if there was an interview on that, but he has a track record of not paying his comics because he used to run the Spokane Comedy Club or something like that. So I don't know. He's never done anything wrong to me, so... I don't have anything against him yet. We'll see what happens in this competition. I know he's not a judge, though. So, oh, yeah, Dennis Williams, also from Portland, was in the competition, and he was also in the Helium contest the same night as me and in the Willamette Valley. So this is like the third time I competed against him, which was – and, you know, I feel bad sometimes for, like, telling my same jokes that I think are funniest.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this was last year. These guys are all still, I know all their jokes. Not that I'm cool because I know their jokes, but they're not really using a lot of new stuff, and I guess that's just the way it goes. Until you come up with a new golden bit, you use your stuff that works, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, especially in a competition, right?
Well, in a competition that you know you have to perform at least 2 more 10-minute sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to do your one-liners for your 2-minute thing, because, shit, a lot of people can't even set up a joke in 2 minutes just because they're more of a storyteller type comedian that talks for a minute and a half and then gets a laugh. But they're talking that's enough interesting stuff that the people don't get bored with it, even though they're not laughing.
Yeah.
And you were on the radio, too.
I know, yeah. I was on the radio drinking.
We're branching out into the regular FM airwaves.
Yeah. I went into Clue with Clue FM.
Did you have a clue when you got in there?
I didn't really have a clue of what was going to be going on. Westy and Debbie invited me in there, and I came in. There was a couple bartenders in there.
And you're a former bartender, right? I don't know if any of the listeners
know
that.
Well, I went to Bartending Academy, and I bartended for a little while. I wouldn't say I was a bartender by any means.
You're a certified mixologist, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah. But, okay.
Just setting the record straight for the listeners.
Yeah, it was fun. I had this, there was a spicy drink. It was made with Thai chili vodka and fresh lime juice, and that was some good stuff.
I like the only spicy alcohol drink I've drank, which is that chili beer from the Cali.
Oh, yeah. That's some good stuff, too. It had that same kind of like a lingering sneaky burn.
Ooh, the sneaky burn. So you stayed in there for what, 2 hours?
It was about an hour and a half, 2 hours, yeah. It was...
Did you drink the whole time?
Pretty much. I had a mimosa and a thing called Corpse Reviver. Like hangover drinks, because it was 8 in the morning.
Right. That's the best time to drink.
Yeah, I had about 6 drinks. Not a big Bloody Mary fan, but...
I heard that those were nasty.
I wasn't a fan.
Not a big fan of the Bloody Mary.
I'm not a big fan of green olives, or there was also a topping of smoked tuna on there.
Tuna and Bloody Mary. I'm having trouble with my cord here.
I don't even know. What would be a...
Shut up. Not you.
I don't even know. What
Bloody tuna is what I was getting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's
tuna.
That's not a good thing.
On your Bloody Mary. Eww.
How many of our listeners
really
like to drink Bloody Tuna? Why can't I hear that? I heard it. There's a drummer in the background trying to branch out, but... Oh, I see why now. All right, so hope you guys are having a good Monday. Man, the sun was out, and it's out today, I'm forecasting, on this pre-recorded episode, because it's supposed to be the hottest day of the year so far. Not hot, but warm. It's supposed to be like 58 today on Monday.
Ah.
So we'll keep our fingers and our toes crossed for some nice weather, because I'm getting some spring fever. It's only like less than 3 weeks till spring. Whoop-de-doo. So did you get like kind of drunk that morning?
Yeah, I got pretty tipsy. I didn't get sloppy drunk, though.
Did you have a cab at home?
Getting pretty close. Nah, I walked part of the way and then...
Flew the rest? Land.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I adjust some things. Okay. I heard you got a response to your Craigslist email.
I did.
I don't know if any of you listeners saw, but he was looking for a silent dog.
I was looking for a silent dog because my sheep had heart problems.
Yeah?
And I had colorblind chickens, so they couldn't be a certain color. And, yeah, I did get a response. I was hoping to get some calls in.
Yeah. You said don't respond to this email. And
yeah, and then all I got was an email from what seemed like a guy. I don't know. Just the English seemed kind of broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of broken.
Yeah, he said he was a breeder and specialized in breeding sheepdogs and was very interested in sending them to me.
He breeds sheepdogs?
Yeah, and then...
That's gross.
Yeah.
Isn't that called something?
Breeding sheepdogs?
Bestiality?
Oh, it might be.
I don't know.
Oh, I get it. He's breeding.
No, he wasn't breeding with them.
Yeah. No, I don't know if you guys realize this, but a lot of the podcasts you listen to are edited the fuck out of. We are live. We are a live podcast with minimal editing unless we have some kind of technical difficulty or if my bladder gets full and I have to run to the bathroom. We're going to be trying some new bits and some different things this season, I think. I'm going to try to branch out. Not that I don't like what we do, but I thought maybe you listeners might be getting sick of just listening to us talk shit for an hour, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because we're awesome.
That's our show.
That is our show. And that's what we do. And sometimes we play with, what is this, a squeaky toy. I bought a new, actually my wife bought a new toy for my cat.
Mm-hmm.
One of those on a stick with a string and some things.
Yeah.
Man, they got rowdy today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they were like wrestling around afterwards because they got all rowdy. And then they like flew off real quick, you know, took off running. And as they bolted off, a cat claw husk, you know, they kind of shed their cat claw husks. Did you know that? They come off and it looks like they've lost their whole nail, but it's just a...
Yeah, just a cover.
So they take off running, and all of a sudden this thing flies through the air and lands on the table right next to me, and it was a little cat claw. I was like, Jesus Christ, you guys are freaking out right now. So that's what I did. Really, I was playing with my cats. It's pretty fun.
Right on.
I like cats better than
dogs. A little
dogs.
Good cat toy. They like to get tired out like that. You do the laser pointer thing?
I don't anymore because the battery went dead, and those batteries are like more expensive than the laser pointers.
Yeah.
To get three batteries is like $9, but they did for a while, but even though they would still play, they kind of know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
They're smart cats, unfortunately. Pat told me a funny cat story. Pat Wambacher stopped by my house the other day.
Oh, really?
He said he went to his friend's house because we were telling him one of our cats is nice, one of them is kind of mean if you touch her in the wrong spot. Place. She's like a little kid or something. But you touch her in the wrong place and she'll freak out and scratch the fuck out of you. He goes, I was at my friend's house and he said, had this big ass cat. You know, I was like, man, a cat? And he's like, don't fuck with that cat. He's like, that cat is mean. We'll fucking tear you up. And he's like, oh, cats aren't mean. I'm a cat, but I like cats. He goes to pet it and it's just like, wow. And it like jumped on his arm and like clamped down on his arm. And he's like, wah, like in a fucking movie. And he gets the cat off of his arm and it backs off and it's like looking at him all fucking shitty. And he's like, so I got this stick that's about 3 foot long. It's like, I was just going to like fuck with the cat. So he's like pointing the stick at it and he's kind of fucking with it. He's like, and the cat just looked right around that stick right at me and went, and it just fucking jumped right at me and lunged on his arm again.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, the cat was psycho. He's like, normally you fuck with a cat with a stick, it's going to bat the stick around. He's like, it just looked right around the stick and just pounced on my arm from 3 feet away.
Wow.
And he's like, is that cat like that always, like, to you? And he goes, yeah. He's like, why do you have him? He's like, he's all right. Keeps a dog in check. I was like, fuck. You got to clean up his poop and pay for his food. You could at least fucking be able to pet him. If I had a cat that wouldn't let me touch it, I would say, fuck you, cat. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, live outside.
Live outside. Become a flat Stanley cat.
Yeah.
We talked about Flat Tristan, too, and that we were going to start a Kickstarter project for Flat Tristan, and he was like, what is a Kickstarter? And then I told him about your success, and we gave him some karma cards, and they liked that idea, and they liked the fact that it was successful for you, and gave you some kudos. It's like, man, Dustin, he's always got these ideas.
Yeah,
half of them are crazy, but half of them work.
Matthew Lesko wants to interview me about that.
I know, and I didn't know who that was till he sent me that picture, and that's that crazy guy with the question marks all over his jacket.
Yeah, he's got the question mark jacket.
And he's got a TV commercial. He sells books on how to make money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
150 things the government doesn't want you to know how you can get free money. I was like, really? Whoa. So, yeah, earlier I posted on our page that we were going to be podcasting today, and I asked for some topics, and we got a list of a few here from our Canadian listener, Adrian Bacon Farrell. He said we should have a little discussion about blues music, and he's not talking about the 1920s stuff, but like the SRV era, anything we like.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, and we talked about that. I think, on the Wednesday's episode last week a little bit about Stevie Ray Vaughan. I think we talked about him. We talked about him before, too. I don't remember who was on here.
Well,
but
we talked about Little Wing, I think, was what we were talking about first.
Yep.
Little Wing.
Yep. And then we talked about it another time. I don't remember what got us on the subject, but yeah, I was heavily influenced by Stevie Ray Vaughan when he came out. It was right before, well, I think it was late 80s when I first heard him, because a friend of mine, John Brown, had seen him in New Jersey before he was ever popular.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to a lot of that style of blues or that kind of blues?
Yeah, Albert King.
Yeah.
Not anything in depth. Is that the kind of vein you're talking about?
No, just like something that you really enjoyed or...
In
that blues era of like... You know, I...
it's hard to say.
To be honest with you and with Adrian and anyone else who cares, I really did love Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I loved the way he emulated Jimi Hendrix's style and stuff like that. But to be honest, I didn't get into a lot of like even Jimmy Vaughan or like Albert King or...
I didn't either.
Or Doyle Bramhall or... Like, I can name some people, but I don't have any of their CDs.
I'm not very familiar.
Robert Cray, Delbert McClinton, mm-hmm. you know, and guys like that, which they're all great artists, but blues is pretty much, I don't know, as any music, I guess, a little bit one-dimensional. Stevie Ray Vaughan had a fire. He had a great talent to play in a little bit of a different way of Hendrix, but taking it to the next level somehow. And I've heard people copy him and do it really well, but I haven't heard anyone come out with a new twist on the style of blues, which, you know, he may have stolen from someone too that I don't know of, because I didn't listen to a lot of old blues. But
I mean, how much of it was him and his acts? Because he never played any other guitar but that one, right?
Well, he did earlier in his career.
Did he?
He had a few, but it was always Fenders.
Yeah.
It was always Strats.
But, I mean, he owned that axe, though.
Yeah, he did. And I wonder who owns it now, because I bet it's worth a lot of money.
Inside and out.
Upside down, backwards, and sideways. But, yeah, so, Adrian, to answer your question, not a huge blues fan, but my dad was into a lot of blues stuff. I like the guitar playing more than the content of, you know, the kind of, oh, I'm sad, this guy's crying, my wife just died, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I really was a huge, and still am, I remember actually the day that Stevie Ray Vaughan passed away. I had worked a graveyard shift. It was 2 days after my birthday in 1990, August 27th. I was just getting off work. I was sacking off my last pallet of grass seed at Coos Seed Warehouse in Albany here.
Yeah.
And on it comes the radio. Stevie Ray Vaughan was just killed in a helicopter crash. And I was like, that's kind of sad. I didn't cry or anything, but I went home and...
pondered.
Yeah, probably listen to some SRV. Got a couple of his albums on vinyl. So, yeah, big fan, but that's about all for me for blues.
I had a friend who's a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, Jerry O.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to go and see Stevie Ray Vaughan was coming into his neighborhood, but it was also on his their anniversary.
Ah, so he didn't go?
So he didn't go.
And then he got killed?
2 months later.
Ah,
He said, hey, he'll be around again.
He better have divorced his wife.
Nope.
That fucker. Had a Super Bowl party, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
That reminds me of something that wasn't my wife's fault, but it was Ozzy's fault. Ozzy, I've been pissed at you ever since this happened in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to see Ozzy and Metallica. It would have been the first time I saw Metallica. They would have had a guy named Cliff Burton on the bass. But Ozzy got sick, and so he had to reschedule the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he rescheduled, Metallica had already had another tour scheduled that they didn't want to back out of because they had already made the commitment. So I didn't even know until we got there, and we're waiting in line at the Memorial Coliseum in Portland. We're looking at the window at the merch booth, and I'm like, cool, look at those Ozzy shirts. I wonder what kind of Metallica shirts. What are those? Blue Oyster Cult shirts? Why are they selling Blue Oyster Cult shirts at a Metallica and Ozzy concert? Get in there. Turns out it's Ozzy and Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh.
Dude, I've seen Blue Oyster Cult That was the first concert I ever saw when I was like 7.
Uh-huh. How was it? What was the encore?
It wasn't Godzilla, which you would have thought it would have been, but they did. I remember them playing that song. I think it was the cowbell song, but I don't remember having the cowbell being so prominent in it. Hmm. They had like an explosion that kind of blacked me out. I remember that was one thing I remember from that show, being a little kid, that they had a really bright light and like a pyrotechnic at the beginning of, right when it bust into the cowbell, like,
you know, Wesky was telling me when Blue Oyster Cult, they came locally a couple years ago, right?
They signed her cowbell, didn't they?
They signed her cowbell, reluctantly.
Awesome. Reluctantly?
Yeah, I think she worked her charm.
I would rather have Will Ferrell sign mine, I think.
Yeah, I said that's the only thing you got missing.
All right, so let's move on here, Adrian, to your next. He says, wanted to know if we have any tips for dealing with problem friends, you know, the ones who are either racist or bigoted. Mm-hmm. So do you have any racist friends? I don't think so.
Really, no. Not like, no, I don't think like serious. No.
Right.
No.
Or like people maybe who are misogynistic or disrespectful to women. I think the best way to deal with them is just don't deal with them. Mm-hmm. If they practice things that you don't agree with and you have to hang out with them on a more frequent basis than just running into them randomly once in a while, then you shouldn't hang out with them, because then you got to bite your tongue or get in an argument.
Yeah.
And say, dude, you shouldn't be a bigot. You shouldn't talk about my Mexican friend because he's Mexican and think that he's going to steal. You know, that's one thing. There's this black comedian that performed the other night. He wasn't in the contest. But all of his stuff is always racial against black people. But he's black. So it's okay. This is another guy, not the guy that I talked about last.
Does he do a chicken and waffles joke?
No, he does a joke about moving to this town where he was the only black person for a long time. And he goes, I got used to it because I adapt and I overcome. And then I went to the post office one day and I saw a black guy. And I was like, oh, shit, there's a black guy in town. I ran home and locked up all my shit. He's like, then I got back to the post office and realized it was mirrored glass. Got back to my house, half my shit was gone. I found out my trunk 2 weeks later. It's just like all these things about how black people are this, and then he sets that up for a while, and then he says some stuff about Mexicans and some other people, like it's okay because I already ripped on my own people for like 10 minutes, so now I can say this.
That's the edge he chooses to push.
I guess, whatever. But I have more like people like Adrian sounds like who are really anti-racist in a way. Like it's just disgusting to discriminate against someone because of the skin of their color or the fact that they're homosexual or whatever, you know. I think in today's day and age, people are more open-minded about that stuff. But then you always got, you know, a few of those goddamn faggots. Hate them faggots. You may be having that with them faggots or else you turn faggot too.
Yeah, well, it's weird, you know, because as it becomes less and less accepted to be that way publicly, the more it just stews behind closed doors.
Yeah, yeah. Behind closed doors? Isn't that a song?
I don't know.
I think it
behind
is.
Behind blue doors. What?
Okay, here's the last subject from Adrian, and this was an interesting question.
All right.
Would you go back in time and relive anything from your past, and would it be the same, or would you change things? How about going back in time and seeing your younger self, or and then giving them stock tips or winners of sports events, a la BTTF2? What's BTTF2? Back to the Future. Okay. Back to the Future. That took me a second. Okay.
Okay, well,
I don't think I'd change anything because I'd be afraid of it fucking up the continuity of the whole universe.
Yeah, remember what happened when, Biff had, he owned the world, right?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of shows where people, you can't do that, man. You're going to fuck that up.
I know. So I guess if I went back in time to change anything, it would be that I went back in time. Right. Is that possible? Is that logistically
possible? You could go back
possible?
In time and write yourself a note and say, when you're 36 and you find this time machine, don't fucking use it, dude, because I'm here now and there's nothing here for you. Nothing to see here. Move along. Just keep on living your life forward. No, I'd like to go. If there was a possibility, which I know that I would watch some movie the other night called Safety Not Guaranteed. Had the girl from Parks and Rec.
Amy Poehler?
No, the dark-haired kind of nerdy chick that worked at the desk.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then it had the dude from The League on it.
Are you talking about the nerdy girl, or are you talking about the one that was in The Office?
No, she wasn't on The Office.
That was Jim's girlfriend for a little while. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, not Rashida. Not that girl.
Oh, Rashida Jones, but you're talking about Aubrey Jones.
Yes, Aubrey something.
Did they both have the same last name?
Aubrey Plaza. That's it. It came to us at the same time.
I'd sort of jinx you right now, but then...
You owe me a Coke.
It would be like... slow podcast. Yeah.
It had one of the dudes from The League, which was the guy who got divorced in season one, I think, or... I can't remember
his name. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Not Steve Ranzini and not Kroll and not the gap-tooth dude and not Taco, but the other guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And so he invented this time machine, and he put an ad in the paper, and these people...
I think I've seen the synopsis for this movie.
It was okay. It was good enough that I watched it all the way through.
Like it's on Netflix now,
right?
I've seen flicking through there.
So he wanted to go back and... he said his wife was dead and stuff, and then the girl finds out that she wasn't really dead. But I think if I went back in time, I would just take advantage of being more, ambitious. Maybe I'd smoke less pot earlier to where I could, like, I would like to go back to, like, 1972 and be 20.
In 1972?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be bell-bottomed?
I wouldn't care what I would be like the scorpions in that picture we were looking at. I would have, I would have platform boots with athletic socks sticking up out of them and cut off jean shorts with no shirt. Whatever. I wouldn't care but I would want to take the knowledge that I have today. And I wouldn't try inventing an MP3 player trying to guy. I would
just took the knowledge you knew today, though. Don't you think that you'd be like elitist as far as the music, as far as like you would have overanalyzed all those bands like for 30 years beyond what any of those guys had analyzed them over?
And you'd I'd be saying,
like, you'd be like, dude, but the notes that he does here, they'd be like, how do you even know that song? It's like they wrote that next year.
Next year, yeah. You could see, and I wouldn't want to do that. You could write a song before them, and then when they come out with a big hit, you could sue them.
Not for suing purposes, but wouldn't that be kind of cool, like, you know, Led Zeppelin 3's coming out, and then you just go and oh no! You're just hanging out with some friends, and you're like, check out these songs that I've been working on. And then you bust them out, and 3 days later, they buy the record and they hear those songs.
You're like, yeah, I was hanging out with Jimmy Page last summer. I don't know if there's any connection or not.
And then just go, what are you guys talking about? No, those songs were all originals, and then play them like different songs.
Yeah, just to fuck with them.
Which would be Led Zeppelin 4.
But I would take my knowledge of knowing what was going to be popular. And I would create the perfect band that would easily get signed in the 70s. And we would take over the world. And I would live in excess, but I wouldn't go over the edge because I already have the knowledge of all the people who fucked it up.
I think I would take 3 weeks of drum lessons. And then I would go and find Gene Simmons.
And you'd be the new Peter Chris.
Uh-huh.
Chris Kula. Yeah. Justin Gatch.
Mm-hmm. I'd be the Catman.
Catman Fever. Did you know that the Village People were an assembled band made by this French dude who wrote some pop songs? And he hired actors and singers and dancers to be the band, and that they were actually
like dancers from a strip club, obviously.
No, but none of them were gay. But did you?
Well, yeah. I mean,
but they specifically.
I think if any of those guys were gay, they wouldn't have been so like flauntingly gay.
Did you know that they were specifically targeted the gay disco crowds by dancing and dressing like the five or six top stereotypical fantasy attire of gay men in Greenwich Village?
And so what you're telling me is they were the gay monkeys.
They were pretty much Gay Sync or the Backstreet Gay village people.
You so, wouldn't, yeah.
So
wouldn't
the ads in the paper
to...
said you must be like something like sassy and you have to have a mustache.
You just said the,
said
that
you have to
yeah.
have a mustache.
That's funny.
And there was one guy.
Must bring your own hat.
So the guy, this French guy who could barely speak English and didn't even know how to play any instruments, wrote these songs. How do you do that? And then he hired this guy to be the main guy, and then they recorded it, and then it took off in the clubs, and American Bandstand went up, so they had to assemble a band, just like, whatever, Hangin' Tough guys, the New Kids on the Cock.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so weird that they were so openly gay, but none of them were gay, and they were just targeting the gay community.
Yeah.
So weird.
But you said earlier when you would have went back in a time machine, you would have formed the perfect band. Isn't that like...
That's what I was talking about, the Village People.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I, you know, that's what they do with NSYNC, right?
No, I don't mean I would have formed the perfect band that way. I would have met friends that were already, you know, in my circle and told them, dude, this is what's going to, and they could say, dude, you're fucking full of shit. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to start doing this weird shit called disco in about a year. And then we're going to hit the punk movement right before it hits. And we will be the fucking trendsetters of all the whole, every genre that comes.
Yeah, and you'd probably be located near Austin, and you guys could be the Tex Pistols.
Yeah, exactly. And then they'd come over from over where they came from and would say, you guys can't be the Sex Pistols. There's been Tex Pistols for 2 years over here, and they're bloody punk.
Or you guys could be the Text Pistols, and nobody would know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. What is a font? Our first album was called Helvetica. That was one of the comics that he goes, I think the homeless people need to pay more attention to their fonts that they use on their signs. They're like, Helvetica would get a lot more results than like...
That is true.
Hobo Scribble. Which is that a font?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
It's like the pen doesn't work good, so they scribble each line. You know, like scribble, scribble, scribble.
Did you know that Mark L. Wahlberg, the actor rapper, not the actor host, but he was scheduled to be on the 9/11 plane?
The actor rapper slash Calvin Klein underwear model? Or the game show host?
No, the one, the Calvin Klein guy.
Oh. Wow.
There was a and couple who took celebrities his seat? That were. I don't know. He canceled at the
Elvis?
Last minute or whatever. Yeah.
Will and Jennings.
The Big Bopper.
Eric Clapton was supposed to be on that plane. The Big Bopper.
Did you see that those guys, those college kids dressed up on the plane?
Who did? Like, they dressed up like what?
Well, one was a dancing banana.
Oh.
This is apparently what happened was a few college kids... I don't know if this was in the spirit of like those flash mob kind of random goofy things, but they cleared this with like the whole flight staff and everything. And then on the plane, while it was up in the air, they all got up and started a dance party. One was like dressed as a banana. One was dressed as something
else. I did not hear about that.
And I was wondering how does that fly?
The plane? It's got big jet engines.
All right, but how does it fly that the people in there, like, how'd they get through with a fucking banana costume with the way everything is these days?
Well, it's probably tucked away in their little case folded up. It just looked like clothes or something.
But they cleared it with all the, like, the stewardesses and stuff.
Oh, well, those aren't dangerous. Banana costumes are they?
No, but I don't know. I mean... There's people that have to go through major troubles just to get on a plane.
Yeah. It's hard to get, you know what else is hard to get on?
Know, I don't know if it's a good image that you'd want to put out there for like, you know, next thing you know, you're going to have fucking a posse of dancing bananas hijack a plane.
As long as they're not dressed like a snake. It's hard to get a snake on a plane.
It is.
Unless you're Samuel.
Did you see that one that was on that plane?
No.
It was all hanging off the wing. It was
we talked about that. Yeah.
That was a snake.
That
would
scare
you.
There was a snake on a plane. All right, so before I forget, I didn't even know I was going to do this until right now. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I brought my guitar into the studio today, and we got to get to this next bit. I almost forgot to do it, and then I got a reminder text from... What's in Hans's CD player? What's in Hans's CD player? What's in Hans's CD player? Okay, that's getting replaced later, but that's today's episode theme song for Hans. Maybe I'll do a different song each episode for Hans. In Hans's CD player today is a band I've never heard of, and they have a name that is a product for sticking things together mixed with the devil.
All right.
See if you can guess
super,
it.
Super. Okay.
Sticking things together and the devil. You must answer in the form of a question.
What is...
Glucifer!
Ooh.
Sorry I blew it, but I didn't think you were going
to
get it.
I wasn't. I was going to go... I was already headed towards something that wasn't even related.
You said super. You were going to say super sticky tape.
Yeah, I was going to go with sticky. I was going to go with like...
Sticky Diablo.
I was going to go with silly putty.
Diablo.
Yeah, so silly Beelzebub.
He's listening to an album called Automatic Thrill.
Hmm.
The band, once again, Glucifer.
Dude, I had a band for him. And I listened, I just, this is a super group of two doom bands.
A super group of two doom bands?
One is a drone doom band. And one, I think, is like a super drone.
Super
what's
drone?
What's the other drone type that's similar to drone?
Cathedral drone?
No, it's just like a... Anyway, it was droney.
Was it like Sun-O? It's like Sun-O kind of
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah. That Sun-O was part of it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yay for me and my doom cred, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And are you going to guess the other one? Because I'm not going to be able to. But the project was called Alter.
So a dude from Sun-O and a dude, Boris?
Yes.
Woo! I'm smart. Oh, he brought his Motley Crue sauce.
Nice.
No, he knew it. So, yeah,
bam.
Sun-O and Boris, they have a couple albums out together.
Yeah, that they go on the altar, and I listen to the one.
Every time I listen to that, I feel like I'm on heroin, or I wish that I had some.
Yeah, it's a heavy listen.
Yeah.
It's a heavy, slow, it's a one-riff album, and I mean, they strum it, and then it goes on.
Yeah, you want to go to sleep.
It was kind of like, you know, I mean, I had the headphones on. Dude,
that's too fast.
It is.
That was the speed metal version.
Yeah, but
of
I mean,
Sun-O.
if you did it in real time, I mean, that'd be the podcast.
One song, 60 minutes. Yeah, for sure. All right, then, as you could hear, I brought my guitar in the studio today. Earlier we were messing around, and I think Wednesday we're going to mess around, too. So this is the second impromptu theme song for segment for the day. Let's see how this one goes.
Say it's your birthday. Gonna have a good time. Yeah.
Okay, celebrity birthdays today include, and you might know this lady, comic actress Catherine O'Hara. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
Very funny lady. SCTV. What else was she in? She was in a ton of stuff. Coneheads, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But she's funny. She's 59 today. Let's keep shutting off. I don't know why. And also, metal guy today, Jason Newsted. Happy birthday, Jason Newsted. I want you to guess how old he is just by saying one of the two numbers that you always say.
50.
Yeah, 50. He's 50 today, Jason Newsted, who has a new band called Newsted, which I've heard pretty rocking. He plays bass and sings for him. And also birthday today, Evan Dando.
Ah!
He's
from the Lemonheads.
Lemonhead. How old do you think the Lemonhead is?
Gosh.
Pat Wambacher used to really love the Lemonheads.
Come on.
He probably still does.
Feel the Lemonheads.
Come on, feel the Lemonheads.
The 94.
Oh, yeah, you're doing your figurative figure.
And then, so they already had, that was like their fourth album. And the first album was probably, what, about 5 years before that? You know, because they had that hit with Mrs. Robinson, right? It was kind of a hit.
Probably.
And then, so that'd take it back to about 89, 88. 68, that would have been their starting. So about 68, that would have been about 45.
Damn, perfect.
Really?
Yep, 45, collective reasoning.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep, he's same age as me. Well, he's a little older, because I don't catch up to him till mustard. No, I don't catch up until August, so. Yeah, 45, go out and feel the lemon heads. If you don't know who they are. I'm not a big fan, but whatever. Hey, did you hear about...
But is that your birthdays?
Yeah, that's it for birthdays.
All right, you
no,
got...
No friends have birthdays today, or all else right. I don't have any friends.
Do you, can you play that theme again?
I could. Why?
All right.
You got another birthday?
No, it's... Can you say it's Dead Celebrity?
Oh, yeah. It's going to have to be a different song, though, because it's going to be different every time.
All right. Well, yeah, we've got Dead Celebrities. We got some you might even know.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Rarely that ever happens.
I know.
All right. Dead Celebrity theme song?
Yeah.
There's celebrities dying every day. Now we're going to talk about a few.
Nice. I like it. They do die every day.
So who died this week?
Diane Lambert.
Whoa, her name starts with Die.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking weird.
She was a songwriter in the 50s and 60s. Did you know her?
Diane Lambert. No, was she Adam Lambert's mom?
She even wrote a song for the Beatles, Nothing Shaking But the Leaves on the Tree.
That must be why it wasn't a hit, because it wasn't written by Lennon or McCartney. So, Diane Lambert, huh?
Lampert. Yeah, sorry.
Rampart?
Yeah.
Engine,
yeah, she wrote songs for a lot of 50s and 60s of those bands that you don't ever hear about.
Yeah.
Like the Letterman.
Weak claim to fame, and she still made celebrity deaths.
This guy you're going to know, Dan Toller.
I am? Well, after you tell me who he is, I'll know.
He was an American guitarist who found success playing for the Allman Brothers and the Greg Allman Band in the 70s and 80s.
Hans, you familiar with Dan Toller?
And then he was struck down. Struck down, it says, by Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, man. That's
he
weird
lost
how they
the ability
word
to
that.
Play guitar or even speak.
He was struck down by Lou Gehrig's disease. Man. Like Lou Gehrig is some badass dude that just, like, struck him down.
Yeah.
What
would happen if you just, like, lost the ability to play guitar?
I would probably strike myself down. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I would probably invent some way to play with my tongue or something, like that one guy. He writes music by doing eye signals to his dad. Mm-hmm. What's that guy? Jason Becker. He got some weird disease where
Becker?
He's a guitarist. He's a shredder from the 80s.
Oh, okay,
Jason
yeah.
Becker.
Yeah.
He was going to be in David Lee Roth's band, and then he was struck down by some disease that made him not be able to move from the neck up.
Or
neck down, sorry. So now he writes classical music by... He can't even talk. So he does the whole alphabet of sign language.
There's no shoulders in it.
Nope. He does the whole alphabet of sign language with his eyes.
Wow. So like 26 blinks for Z?
26 blinks, someone's easy. Top.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think like if he looks left twice and right once is like a letter or something, or if he's like rolls his eyes, that means fuck off, dad, or I don't know.
It was a horrible week for music because another one
bites the dust.
An American pianist who became famous when he won the first ever Tchaikovsky pianist competition, Moscow, 1958, during the Cold War. Van Cliburn. Moving on.
I don't know that guy.
Van Cliburn.
Dude. I don't know. I can't remember the last time we did celebrity deaths and I knew anyone. You're like, come on, he's the dude. And then you name 500 movies that he directed. And I was like, well, I've seen all those movies, but I don't know that guy.
Debbie Austin died this week.
Oh, I know her.
She was born on N.A., apparently not applicable when she was
born. No, she was at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was 62, and she was a woman from California who became well-known as an anti-smoking advocate, appearing in many commercials for the cause. I'm wondering if it was that lady with the hole in her neck.
Oh, probably so.
Because, man, when she goes, man, dad.
Have you ever got a Hummer from a lady with a Ciroc thing in her neck? I don't even know what I just said.
I have not. What about, did you ever watch shows like Dallas?
No.
Tales of Wells Fargo. Death Valley Days. And you wouldn't know that Dale Robinson died.
They're coming right.
Did you ever hear of the Great Train Robbery?
With Don Knotts?
In 1963.
No. Was there just one that was great?
It's a real thing, not a movie. Mm. What about Richard Street, Detroit-born soul singer? Do you know that guy?
I know him like Dick Street.
Dick Street.
Hey, lady, you want to take a walk down Dick Street? I'll sing you some R&B.
He was part of the Temptations, Dick Street.
Oh, Dick Street's so tempting.
He died of a pulmonary embolism.
Ooh, I don't like things that sound like that. Embolism.
Yeah. Embolism. He was part of a lesser-known group called the Monitors.
Oh.
Which I think they dressed up as lizards.
Which I think he probably had himself hooked up to one for the last few days there.
Yeah. What about you watched, I'm sure, religiously One Day at a Time?
No, not religiously, but I really was a big fan of the maintenance guy. What was his name?
Schneider.
Yeah, Schneider. Did he die?
No, Bonnie Franklin did.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
She got her start in television at the age of 9 in the Colgate Comedy Hour.
She had the boldest bowl cut of anybody.
And was Ann Romano.
Ray's mom?
Is that her name, Ann?
I don't know.
Well, that's funny.
If you're a guy that talks to your nose.
Oh, I thought it said she died of pancreas.
I have my own TV show because...
She was 69. Her final role was in The Young and the Restless. I didn't know One Day at a Time was on for 9 years.
Yeah, and you know the weird thing was? It was 9 years, One Day at a Time. Is that all for celebrity deaths?
No, Adrian Thomas was hit by a car.
Who the fuck's Adrian Thomas?
Come on, dude. Like you don't know the Australian DJ and host of the radio show Sunset, also known as DJ Ajax.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. This has been Celebrity Death, a bunch of people that you've never heard about.
Dude, you got really, really down about one of them.
Bonnie Franklin.
Yeah.
I used to have a man crush on her. She's my first ginger that I had a crush on.
You had a man crush on her?
Yeah, because I was a little boy, and she looked more manly than either Valerie Bertinelli, who ended up giving blowjobs to Eddie Van Halen later in life, and the other girl that was on there was getting boned by her dad and doing coke when she was 13, and that's just weird.
You ever watch Hot in Cleveland?
No, but I've wanted to. Betty White?
Betty White, Valerie Bertinelli, the chick from Frasier.
Huh.
And a couple others.
Oh, yeah, you told me that, and I don't know who the chick from Frasier
is. It's a menopause show.
Yeah?
They're all going through their menopause, so it's not really that exciting.
Well, I hope you guys have had a great Monday. I think we're just about done. We've got to wrap up. Thanks to our sponsors, Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions.
Made infamous in song.
Yeah, that's right. In the song that was stolen, I guess, from Jethro Tull, but I didn't realize
that.
Maybe I'll extract those lyrics and make it into a song of our own that I can rip off.
If anybody would, if anybody's listening, would like to hire Terry to write them a 30-second jingle, send us a message. Because that would be possible, right?
Oh, yeah.
You'd write a jingle and they'd play it on the radio. You could be the next guy for AutoZone. How would you change that? What would you do? AutoZone. You'd have to be way different than like AutoZone because it's so goddamn.
No, see,
funny.
I don't steal. I wouldn't just steal their thing.
Yeah, you got to change that. You got to make it.
I'd be like, you're now entering the AutoZone. A total new dimension in space and time.
I like that.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Is that the Twilight
You are one? Entering a dimension where spark plugs are on sale for $1.99.
All right. All right. We'd also like to thank everybody for listening. Go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com. Give us $1. Or not. Listen for free if you'd like. It has all of our links to our social media. Dude, what was that?
I got a new way for us to end the show.
What?
Yeah.
That sounded kind of scary. I was.
Whoa, that's really loud, huh?
I got it. I got you taken care of on that one. You got the gun too close to the microphone. Is
I know.
What it is. So
I
was
a
watching
gun here.
I was watching 24.
Uh-huh.
I'm into the already almost done with season 3.
Wow.
But he had to do this. He had to actually hold a gun to his head, and he didn't know if it was going to shoot him.
Really?
And it was a click. So.
Well, that's what we're going to do. Oh, he only had to do it once. There wasn't a way until.
They did something outrageous and saved the day, like Jack Bauer always does.
Nice. He's nice.
As old as that show is, he's just. Yeah. I could see how he could be people's heroes because. And the cool thing about it for me is that the seasons are already done now, and I know that he was in every episode, so I know he's not getting killed or anything until the last episode. So
doesn't that kind of kill it, like when you watch a poker tournament online and you know the show is an hour long and there's like 5 minutes left? You know this is going to be the last hand. You already know who wins.
Okay. Yeah. I don't watch a lot of poker tournaments, but I could understand.
Yeah. There's other shows like that, too.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to play Russian Roulette.
So what, you want to die for the show?
Yeah.
How many bullets are in the gun?
One.
Well, there's a chance that we would not die, right?
Well, it depends on how you want to play it.
Well, I just want to try once each.
Once each? All right. I'm just going to spin that. All right, who's going to go first?
I think you should go first since it's your idea and your gun.
All right.
And then I promise I'll go after you. Oh, wait, there won't be any bullets in the gun. Okay, here we go. Bye, Dustin. Oh, man, Jack Bauer. All right, hand that thing over here.
All right. Oh.
Dude, I'm going to put it right in my ear. Let me take my headphone off.
Tagcast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
tagcastpodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
Tagcastpodcast.com.
Pluggy plug plug plug. Hey, Taggets, how you guys doing out there? I got your list of shows of stuff you want to go do, if I can speak correctly. Friday, March 8th at the Baghdad Theater, it's the 4th annual Laughter is the Best Medicine show featuring Ron Lynch, Dana Gould, Trace Beaulieu, I think from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and a bunch more. It's $20 at the door, 21 and over, 6 o'clock. Saturday, March 16th at the Dixie Creek Saloon. It's Wicked Haven, Crimson Guardian, and Bikini. It's a 9 p.m. show, 21 and over. That is free. Also that night, if you're in the Eugene area, go to the Wow Hall for We Have Guns, Tall Boy, 30-pound test, and Audiophobia. Sunday, March 10th at the Ash Street Saloon. It's a down and dirty comedy showcase with your host, Patrick Perkins. This month's featuring David Mascaro, Trevor Thorpe, Noriko Ott, Stephanie Pirtle, Dan Weber, Scoot Herring, and Xander Devereaux. That's $5 at the door. It's 21 and over there at the Ash Street Saloon in Portland, 10 p.m. show. Saturday, March 23rd, it's Nile, Ceremonial Casting's World of Lies, and Heathen Shrine at the Hawthorne Theater. Tickets are available. You can find them online. You're listening here now. You know where to go. Tuesday, March 26th, we got Graves at Sea, a doom band from Arizona, coming up to play with Portland's Aldebaran, as well as Ashborer. That's all at the Ash Street Saloon. It's a Tuesday, March 26th in Portland. March 27th, at the Cosmic Pizza in Eugene, it's Pojama People, featuring Ike Willis of the Frank Zappa Band. And I will be lucky enough to sit in with those guys for a few tunes. They will also be working their way up the coast to Portland, Seattle, and I believe Bellingham. So if you're into Zappa, check that out. Thursday, March 28th at the Granary, it's Comedy as Advertised with your host Seth Milstein and his friends, including myself. I'll be doing a set of comedy there. 9 p.m., it's a free show. Friday, March 29th at the Crystal Ballroom, it's Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire. Lucky enough to have VIP passes to that with my good buddy Dave Forsyth, who's coming up from Reno, and we're going to hang out with the dudes, so that'll be fun. You should check it out. I think tickets are almost sold out. Saturday, March 30th, we talked about this before, at the Roseland Theater, Clutch with Orange Goblin. You can find information online on how to get tickets for that. Sunday, March 31st, it's the 18th annual Eugene Laugh-Off at the Actors Cabaret of Eugene. I will be involved with that, trying to be the funniest person of Eugene. Tickets are $20. I know that seems like a lot, but all proceeds go to the Green Hill Humane Society. So it's for a good cause. 18 and over, 7 p.m. Sunday, April 21st, is the third annual Doug Benson 420 show. Always a day late. He's so wasted, he doesn't know what's going on. That's at the Wow Hall in Eugene. For all you old school punk rock fans, No Means No is coming to Portland on April 26th. That's at the Hawthorne Theater. More comedy coming up at a new place, Sam Bond's Garage in Eugene, Sunday, April 28th, for the Bleepin' Funny, which is kind of a PG-13 or a TG-13 show. With Leanne Jashaway, Seth Milstein, myself, and a bunch of others. So if you don't like all poop and penis jokes, come out for that. That's at 8 p.m. at Sam Bond's Garage, 21 and over. That's on Blair Boulevard in Eugene. Here's one I've been waiting for, trying to get my friend Pat to go with me. May 18th, it's Cannibal Corpse, Napalm Death, Immolation, Beyond Creation, and Cretan at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland. Go online to find out tickets for that. Ton of good shows coming up, you guys. Don't just sit at home and be a stick in the mud. Go out and do something. Go to a venue. Go buy a ticket. Go listen to some music. Do something. And then come home and listen to the Tagcast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. Peace out.